News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, Donald Trump has criticised Ukraine after President Zelensky expressed surprise at not being invited to Saudi Arabia on talks on ending the war. He blamed Ukraine for starting the conflict and suggested they could have reached a deal sooner. And Dunica Obejon, professor of politics at DCU and author of forthcoming book Unfinished Empire, Russian Imperialism in Ukraine and the Near Abroad, joins us this morning. Dunica, what do you make of what Trump is saying, that they should have reached a deal, Ukraine and Russia, Ukraine shouldn't have started it in the first place, and indeed his suggestion that elections need to be called in Ukraine, political interference on a grand scale?
Well, they're quite extraordinary, these talks, but I think one thing that's emerging quite clearly is that they're not really about Ukraine. This is about restoring US-Russian relations, and Ukraine is perceived to be an obstacle, an inconvenient obstacle in the way. So they're trying to dispense with Ukraine as quickly as possible to restore some kind of normality in economic relations, which is something that Donald Trump wants, which is something that Vladimir Putin wants. Now, you know, Ukraine wasn't present at these talks. There's an old saying that if you're not at the table, you're probably on the menu. Ukraine is definitely on the menu here. And you can only imagine how Ukrainians feel. I mean, they've been fighting and dying for 3 years trying to defend their country. And now they have this clearly indifferent, if not hostile, Donald Trump undercutting their core interests by negotiating over their heads with the very regime that has inflicted so much upon them. So it's a very difficult situation for Ukraine to be in. Putin wants land, and Trump's team have already conceded that Ukraine will have to give land. Now, they're conceding this on Ukraine's behalf. They haven't consulted with Ukraine. And Trump quite clearly wants economic resources in Ukraine. He sent his Secretary of State for the Treasury out last week with a contract demanding essentially $500 billion in critical minerals from Ukraine. And Marco Rubio said yesterday that a peace deal for Ukraine was essentially the key to unlocking great economic opportunities for U.S.-Russian relations. So this is essentially the sacrifice of Ukraine, and it's been carved up by Russia and the U.S. And you might argue that Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, in that sense, have more in common than with Vladimir Zelensky.
Yeah, you might indeed. But can I ask you, how much power does the U.S. have to decide anything on Ukraine's behalf if Ukraine refuse? If for example, a peace deal is hammered out oddly and sort of bizarrely and to some extent between the US and Russia about Ukraine, where they say, well, we'll go back to you know, the land borders that Russia have achieved now. We'll take that as official Ukraine. We'll take NATO off the table. We'll put elections on the table. We'll do all of those things. How much influence has the US to make Ukraine do any of that?
Well, the U.S. can't make Ukraine do any of that. And indeed, you know, this is the mistake that's been made from the very beginning, is underestimating Ukrainians and their agency. I mean, at the beginning of the war, all the embassies in Kyiv, including the Irish one, vacated. They assumed that Russia was going to annihilate Ukraine within a couple of days. And here we are 3 years later, and Russia's forces are stuck still in Ukraine. So it's a mistake to underestimate. But what Trump has done is that he's thrown Putin a lifeline. You know, I mean, what's clear is that Putin hasn't been able to achieve any of his core objectives in Ukraine. He's stalled in Ukraine. He can't even remove Ukrainian troops from Kursk, which, of course, is in Russia. He's seen his key ally in Syria, Bashar al-Assad, overthrown and now in exile in Moscow. The Russian economy is under stress. And now, you know, he sees that he has this opportunity to vacate the conflict in Ukraine with his core interests intact. But as I said, there's no way that we can guarantee, and indeed Zelensky has said as much, that they will not abide by any agreement which they're party to.
And maybe lastly, Dunica, you know, it's often said that the kind of the allies of Ukraine have given them enough so that they haven't lost, but not enough in order to win. And that's why we have had this grinding war for 3 years. Europe's role in all of this. Do you expect to see a change in policy from Europe on any of this in response to what is a clear change in US foreign policy?
Well, it's very interesting that last night the leaders of the main parties in the European Parliament, the European People's Party, the Socialists and Democrats, Renew Europe, they have all agreed on a statement that says that Europe can no longer fully rely on the United States to defend shared interests and values. So this has been a huge wake-up call for Europe. You might say a long overdue one. I mean, Europe has been underinvested in security and defence. It's going to be very difficult to change policy fundamentally overnight. But rhetorically, they're arguing for a complete rehaul of how we approach security and defence in Europe, and indeed how we approach Russia.
Look, thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Dunica O'Bachon, Professor of Politics at DCU and author of forthcoming book, Unfinished Empire, Russian Imperialism in Ukraine and the Near Abroad.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.